Don't go to the cop.
How will the barn move on now that Lem's moved to Colorado with his fiance Holly to take care of her parents? We'll find out this week on an episode of The Shield. We're talking about it here on Mackie's Clubhouse. I'm Kevin.
I'm Larry.
Yeah.
What the hell are you fucking referencing at the top of that thing?
That's what happened in the last episode. Lem moved to Colorado with his fiance Holly, and they're going to have a family. And everything's going to be great for him.
Is this Dexter?
No, that's The Office. How could you miss that one?
Oh, good Lord. I don't know how the fuck I didn't pick up on that. Jesus Christ, I'm fucking...
Right. You always know, like, these minuscule things about The Office. And then and this one just goes right over your head.
I hear you. Like, because I was like, Colorado Holly. Like, I love Holly, but... I don't. When I hear the name Holly, I don't associate it to The Office. It's just weird. All right. Anyways, season 6, episode 1, Jank.
On the Jones, it's called. Which I don't really like that name right off the bat. Gonna say that.
Yeah, you know they use this phrase once or twice in the episode, and it still doesn't under. I guess it means Jonesin.
I've heard Jonesin for something before, I've never heard the phrase on the Jones before.
Right. Or I think at one point Shane even says, you think he's going to do that when he's on his Jones? And I was like, what? Who talks like that?
Yeah.
But yeah.
Maybe that's so inside that we're just not cool enough to know about
it. Yeah, that could be too. That's probably more likely than anything. But before we get into this, Jank, we got to tell all the kids that last week we put up the Three Stooges episode.
Yeah, sure
did. The palate cleanser of the Three Stooges. And, I went over to Twitter and I said, hey, Michael Chiklis, I really liked you in the Three Stooges movie. And he said, hey, thanks a lot. It's been a long time since we made that movie. We had a good time. Huh? Me and Michael Chiklis, we're besties now.
I'm honestly very impressed. Yeah. That was pretty exciting.
It was.
To see that he was, tweeting you back. That's pretty great.
And you know, the thing was, is like, he replied within 5 minutes.
Wow.
He is on top of that. It wasn't like the next day or no. It was like 5 minutes later. He's like, hey, thanks.
Aw. Yeah. He seems like a good dude.
And I was like, hey, I got this podcast. We talk about the Shield. You want to come on at some point? And he's like, yeah, let me know when you get to season 8. And I was like, oh, okay, will do.
All right, then for sure.
Yeah. Well, the whole set thing never happened. He did reply to me, though, for sure. we're best friends. I'm working on it. Maybe we'll get him on the show at some point. We're running out of time, so I got to hurry up. But I'm lazy, too, so that's working against me. What are you going to do?
Tell him if he doesn't want to come on, at least get us Ronnie.
Oh, we could easily get Ronnie.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right, hold on. I want to play a game real quick. I want to go on to Cameo. All right. How much do you think Ronnie cost on Cameo?
I would imagine. I mean, I can't imagine him actually being on Cameo.
What's his name?
David Reese Snell.
Is it R-E-E-S?
Yeah. I'm very curious to see whether he's even listed. I can't imagine he's in demand enough for him to be on there, but.
I don't see him.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, what are you going to do?
All those fans of that Lifetime movie are very upset.
That's true. All right. hold on. Wow, Chiklis ain't on here either. What the hell's going on with this Cameo? Who's on here besides fucking Gilbert? Oh, here's Kate Flannery from The Office. How much do you think Kate Flannery cost to fucking...
Ooh, that's tough. I know, I think they said that, what's his name? Brian Baumgartner is like the number one person on Cameo. Like, he made the most money of anyone last year.
I hear he makes like... He's also like one of the highest rated Cameo people overall because I guess his videos are real good and long and it's not just like, hey, brah! It's Kevin. Fuck you. Bye. Like, it's like, I think he goes into like some details.
Thanks for the money, bitch.
Yeah, thanks for nothing, cunt. I don't know. I don't know what they say on there. I never got a cameo.
Me neither.
Yeah. So, Kate Flannery, what do you think?
Kate Flannery, I'm going to say $60.
Oh, so close. $180.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But
wow.
If you want to chat with her, like, I guess you could just, like, I don't know, direct message or whatever on Twitter. I don't know. $20.99.
What?
Yeah, that's what it says.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's an odd pricing schedule.
Also, by the way, Kate Flannery, like, I don't know if it's just her specifically, but you can pay that in four payments of $45 each.
Wow.
If you're approved with a firm, I'm guessing that's some high interest rate scammy fucking, like, if you got to put your cameo on credit, maybe hold off on that then.
Yeah, you probably don't need it that bad.
Yeah, like, you don't need it that bad. Like, she'll be there in a couple years when you get $180 together.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. I didn't know they had layaway plans on cameo.
Either. Yeah. Like, wonder if she, like, she waits, like, hey, ding, 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 fourth payment came in, so, you know, call that douche or whatever, make his video. Or if she just makes the video, and then they trust you to pay that money.
Yeah.
Because if that video blows, I might miss a payment or two.
This was only, like, a $120 thing. Wow. That's all this was worth to me.
$180.
You didn't even use my name.
I could spend all day on Cameo, so we won't. All right, so original air date, April 3rd, 2007, directed by Michael Fields.
Oh, he's very good.
Who you'll recognize from this one episode of The Shield that he directed on the film. He also did some Veronica Mars, some Lethal Weapon, some Gossip Girl. He's like another one of those all TV guys.
Oh, okay.
I didn't see any movies, I don't think, on his credits. It was all like episode of this. I think he did maybe 7 or 8 Veronica Mars. I don't know. Aren't you a fan of that?
No, I never saw it. I think it was Mike Dell who watched all of that. Remember?
Oh.
He went through and.
That seems about right.
I mean, that seems like the life, really, just fucking being a TV director. Like, they've already set up how they, you know, Kevin Smith even talks about it. Like, yeah, this is already set in motion. Everyone knows what they're fucking doing by now.
Yeah.
You just show up and basically tell him, hey, good job.
That's what he says, too. He's like, yeah, I'll bring donuts in the morning, and I'll just be like, so what are you guys doing? All right, action. Oh, you guys are the best. I'll see you tomorrow.
Maybe a little more energy this time. Okay. Sounds good. That's the most strenuous part of your job, I guess, is that.
Well, I guess I saw this documentary called, I think it's called Empire of Dreams. It's about the making of Star Wars and then, you know, after that, Empire and Jedi. But apparently all George Lucas's directions ever are faster and more intense. That's the only direction they said that he ever gives. Like, C-3PO said it, Han Solo was talking about it, Princess Leia, like, yeah, George doesn't say much, just faster and more intense. And they all do, like, a, you know, a George Lucas impression, of course, you know. Faster and more intense, you know. But
that's so good.
It's a good documentary. I like it. It's long as fuck, though. Like, if you got 3 hours, or maybe it's 4 hours, but
yeah, I really like it. I think I've seen that somewhere.
Yeah, I think it's on
watch parts
Prime.
Of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of something out of the blue, I found out today that on Tubi they have, this is going to sound so stupid and it has absolutely nothing to do with anything we're talking about right now, but I have it on because I watched it when I got home from work, and when this started I was like, I just hit play again. But they have the Abbott and Costello version of Jack and the Beanstalk on Tubi. I don't know why, but I fucking loved this movie as a kid. I probably haven't seen this thing in like 40 years. It's really terrible and awesome at the same time. I really like old ass TV where, like, with the painted backdrops and stuff.
Yeah, paintings. And
yeah. Yeah. I like the fakeness of it, where it looked more like you're watching a play as opposed to, like, you know, I'm in somebody's living room. Like, you know, today everything's just ultra realistic, and it's too much sometimes.
Yeah, I could see that.
But anyways, Cenk, we're going to be already 15 minutes into this bullshit. We haven't even talked about the show yet. All right, that's so true. Who wrote this episode?
This was a Kurt Sutter special right here.
Uh-oh.
Old Kurt Sutter.
I knew it, because there's a fucking montage at the beginning and the end.
Yep. At least the beginning one was pretty much all one person. It was pretty much all strike team oriented.
Yeah.
For the most part. But, yeah. Yep, it ends with a classic Kurt Sutter musical montage.
Holy fuck. But by the way, super huge thumbs up on the Johnny Cash Hung My Head song choice for this montage, because I love that fucking song.
Yeah, I mean, they love this song so much they used it for both montages.
Yeah, they played
beginning of the episode and then at the end.
Well, I guess it's like, hey, we got Johnny Cash for one episode. We're taking advantage of this.
Yeah.
I love that fucking song, though. It is such a good fucking song. I don't love country music. I almost despise country music and anybody that likes country music. I immediately, like, as soon as I hear, like, oh, yeah, you got to go to, like, what the fuck's that guy who's all Kenny Chesney concert? And I'm like, immediately, I'm like, all right, I already think less of you. We just met, and you're already knocked down a peg. But anyways, I love this Johnny Cash song. But, yeah, that's how the show opens.
Yeah.
It's a weird scene, too. Like, they're all at Lem's grave, and they're trying to figure out a plan for getting Guardo and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And they just shoot Lem's grave in a 21-minute
yeah.
They're like, Lem. So it's Ronnie and Vic and Shane, and they're like, Lem, you deserve a 21-gun salute. And they just pull out their fucking guns, and they each fire 7 times into his, like, grave site. And I'm like, what are you doing? What if he's still alive in there, actually?
He's never coming back as a zombie. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for nothing.
Yeah, so, this is like a bullshit move, because, like, they probably spent good money on that guy's casket. Like,
I hear you.
I just wrecked it.
Yeah. Plus, it's just a weird thing. I don't know. I understand you can't shoot your guns in the air, but how about you just don't give him a 21-gun salute? Why don't you just dump a 40 on it? Or Pepto. I mean, that's what he liked to drink.
Yeah. Or something. Just, like, get some pellet guns or something, maybe.
Yeah. It was weird. I don't know. It was
weird. I mean, I couldn't imagine being in that cemetery for that, like. You're in a cemetery in the middle of the night. People just start shooting guns off. You're going to freak the fuck out.
Yeah. But I'm also worried why you're there.
Yeah. True. That's all. Best we not talk about that.
Yeah. All right. We won't bring that up. But we get the theme song early in this one, Cenk. 4 minutes, 27 seconds.
Yeah, it's just that one scene with the strike team, basically. And then that's it.
Yeah, they make
it off and running.
Bardo and everybody's, you know, Shane's a wreck.
Yeah.
Shane's coming unglued already.
He definitely is. We'll mention this a little bit. There was a 15-minute kind of prequel, season 6 prequel episode that they put online back in the day. And it's also on the season 5 DVDs, I guess, to kind of get you hyped for season 6. And they do show a little bit more of the in-between times from where season 5 ended and season 6 started on there, including Lem's funeral, where you kind of find out, they summarize it pretty good in this episode, where Claudette basically shows up to the funeral, and she's like, hey, yeah, like, there's not going to be a whole thing about this. In fact, like, the, you know, PD is making people work overtime just so that they can't go to this funeral. It's like, wow, that's shitty.
Yikes.
Yeah. So they're pretty much washing their hands of Len. They're just like, he was dirty, fuck him, is basically the city's approach to this. So he is not getting the typical kind of hero's send-off, which is pretty shitty. And there's also a that scene at the funeral. I think it's the first time where we've actually seen Corinne and Mara in the same scene together. Like, they're kind of talking. Yeah. She's all, like, Corinne's just like, oh, I was always afraid that this would be Vic's funeral or something like that. And Mara's like, yeah, Shane's a mess. He's like, yep, I wonder why.
So she's, like,
still worried about him. She can tell that something's up.
Over on IMDb, They call this Wins and Losses, Season 6, Episode 0. And there's, like, there's still shots of, like, Vic's in dress clothes, and he's got his gun drawn, and he's got some, like, what else is going on in this episode?
Like
15 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, there's the part I sent you online, which is about the arm wrestling match. That's kind of an ongoing thing throughout the, it kind of keeps cutting to these flashbacks, where it shows 2 years earlier, and there's this big arm wrestling match going on, and it's going to be Lem versus some guy from Wilshire. And they wanted a bigger venue for it, so they made a deal with Aceveda, where Aceveda's like, hey, we're trying to get this guy before Wilshire gets him. If you guys bring him in, then I'll give you the run of the place. Like, you guys can, this whole place, the whole barn can be your fucking amphitheater for this big arm wrestling match. And so they go get this guy, and Lem ends up tackling the guy when he runs, and he hurts his arm. So they're like, oh shit, this might fuck up all our plans that we're going to place all these bets on Lem. But Lem's like, no, I'm good. So he goes in and he does arm wrestle this guy. They brought in a ringer, basically. Wilshire brought in this giant guy who's just enormous and, like, super tall and super fat. And Lem's like, no, I can do it. And he does. He beats this guy pretty easily. And so they all win. You know, the Farmington's real happy about it. They get this trophy that this little arm trophy, I guess it's like an arm ripped off with, like, some kind of a doll. And this is his trophy, and, you know, they've all won a bunch of money. But then they're like, hey, can you take me to the hospital and, like, count the cash on the way? Because I fucked up my arm real bad. So they're like, well, why didn't you tell us? And he's like, oh, I couldn't let you guys down. So it's just kind of showing what a good guy Lem was. And everyone in the barn was cheering him on, and, like, everyone loved him, so it's just like, oh, this poor guy. Like, people actually love this dude. And now he ended up like this.
Like, we always said Lem's a big dude, but, like, when he was standing there, like his arms are bigger than you would think they are.
Yeah. Like, he was an arm wrestler in real life, so that was all legit.
Oh!
Like, yeah. Okay. He was actually competitive in arm wrestling, like, prior to this, so I think that's why they kind of built this in, was to have him, you know, finally give him a chance to show that off. He's legit.
Is he like Lincoln Hawk?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So then basically at the end of the funeral, kind of Vic is putting that arm trophy into the casket. And so you kind of get some closure there. But then they leave from there to go after some guy who works for Guardo or might know who Guardo is. So this is where they go in their suits after this guy. And Vic starts beating the shit out of him pretty early. but then Dutch shows up, him and another cop, like, kicking the door. And they're like, hey, what's going on? Why are you guys here? And Vic's like, well, you know, I'm going after this guy. And Dutch is like, he's like, why are you here? And Dutch is like, well, I got a warrant. And Vic's like, oh, good, that'll cover both of us. And basically they let that guy go. And they're like, hey, you know, fucking tell Guardo we're after him or something like that. And so basically that's where that ends, where Dutch is kind of on to the fact that these guys are, you know, doing their own investigation.
That's it? That's the whole...
Yep, that's where it ends. They re-showed where Lem got blown up again, because I guess it was on Shane's mind, so they kind of, you know, cut to that. So that was probably a minute and a half, was just seeing that scene again.
Oh, by the way, I know I sent this to you, but our buddy the Ryan tweeted me the other day as well, saying he also remembered Lem sacrificing himself for the betterment of the team. So then we got in this whole, like, Berenstain and Berenstain and all that kind of shit thing. You know, who knows?
Maybe a Mandela effect, because I mean, as we mentioned last episode, I remember clearly where I was and watching this episode, and it was always Shane. Like, I remember it no other way at any time in my life, so I don't know. Maybe we were from different Earths, and now they've collided.
He also mentioned that if we needed help with our recast, let him know. And I thought, no, we're very good. I don't need to do cartoons again. What are you gonna, like? What are we gonna do now? Like, Canadian soap opera stars? Like, cartoons was rough, the Orion.
Yeah. Let's narrow it down to anime.
Yeah. Oh, yikes.
They have to be Japanese cartoons.
I don't know anything about it. Speed Racer. But anyway,
speaking of the Ryan, I got a message from both him and another listener, also voting for Elizabeth Olsen in our poll, our ongoing poll between who's hotter, Elizabeth Olsen or Kate Hudson. Kate Hudson has not a single vote.
No. Well, I'll take Kate Hudson then, just because she's older, I think. I like a more mature lady.
Yeah, you're weird like that.
No, I'm old. I would say, like, I would never be one of those guys who's like 50 years old dating like a 22 year old. That's fucking weird. But Kate Hudson's 41, so I'll go there. Elizabeth Olsen is only 32. That's creepy, man. Because I'm 47. Like, nah, I'll go Kate Hudson.
I'd allow it.
Plus, there's no wrong answer. So you guys,
there's
are
no over. Wrong answer, but Elizabeth Olsen is the right answer.
But don't get me wrong, Elizabeth Olsen's hard as balls.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I would just have more in common with Kate Hudson, like, you know, crossword puzzles and prunes and that kind of shit. You know, be scheduling our, you know, fucking rheumatoid arthritis appointments and shit together.
Yeah, you guys can carpool, go on the same day.
That's it. All right, so Corinne shows up. She's looking for Vic. She hasn't heard from him in a while. And Dutch is like, oh, I'll give him a message. And that message is my dick. How about it, Corinne? You want a taste of this meat? It was kind of like, like he's creepy as fuck, man.
Yeah, seems like they're kind of like, there's a bit of a spark between them again.
Yeah.
Or at least he's trying. I don't know if she's in the mood for it, but he thinks there is for sure. Hmm.
All right. I was just looking at, like, Kate Hudson's husband. Kate Hudson's husband.
Kate Husband.
Kate Husband, yeah. His name is Danny Fujikawa. But if you looked at him, you wouldn't think his last name was Fujikawa. You would think it would be, like, O'Reilly or...
Wow.
Yeah. But, all right, either way. So... Forrest Whitaker, he catches Phillips. I think they're out in the parking lot or whatever. But he looks
different again too. Like, I think he shaved off his facial hair, except maybe like a little tuft under the lip there. But he's pretty much he's changed his look again. So I guess this is what happens if you take a break between filming.
Well, yeah, you know, what are you gonna do?
Yeah.
But he's all like, I didn't mean to tell that fucking chief the house Vic's piss taste and all that stuff.
I'm sorry I used the word piss 37 times in a consecutive 1 minute span of time.
So Phillips is like, listen, you got till tomorrow to come up with something. That's it, man. He's like, be happy you're getting that.
Yeah.
So
because he still thinks Vic was involved. Phillips isn't totally buying it, but he's like, I'll give you a little bit of time. That's it.
The strike team, they go and see Moses. Remember Moses?
Yeah.
They rough him up.
Yeah, because they're on a case now, Claudette. As soon as Vic pops his head in the barn, she's like, hey, there's this methadone clinic that got burned down. Like, your team's got to go investigate. And he's like, no, fuck that. We're investigating Lem. And she's like, no, you're not. You go do this shit. And they're like, god damn it. So they go see Moses because they think maybe he did it, because, you know, they're running the drug business and methadone is probably not good for them.
Yeah, this is where the On the Jones comes from, which once again makes no sense. So they go looking for some douche named Quentin.
But there's in this scene, Moses has this girlfriend who Shane kind of takes away and frisks a little bit, and you can see there's something going on there which will pay off later in the episode.
Yeah, I don't know how old that girl is. So
they said she's legal.
Oh, well, then that girl's smoking hot. God. Yeah, she is hot as balls. Holy fuck. But so they go to this hotel to find this Quentin guy or whatever his name was, and he ain't there. But they find his roommate dead in the bathroom. Now, did you catch the name on the roommate?
Sure did.
Yeah.
He killed Kevin Smith.
Kevin Smith, like, I understand you don't like cop out and shit, but it wasn't that bad.
This was right after Jersey Girl, probably.
You know. What are you getting at?
Yeah, that hurts.
Yeah, so apparently, I don't know, did he bludgeon him with a toaster? Is that what I'm supposed to pick up? Because the guy's sitting on the toilet, and there's a blood splatter, like, on the shower door, like the front.
Yeah, it sure looks like a gunshot to me.
It looks like a, but then there's a toaster on the floor, and I was like, well, was he taking his shit and making toast, and somebody came in and shot him?
Yeah, like was he expecting this guy to be in the bathtub, and he's like, I'll just drop this toaster in the bathtub, but then he was taking his shit.
Oh, he electrocuted him. I'm like, wait, no. This guy's just sitting on the shitter.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Was the guy just on the shitter and really wanted some toast? And it really had nothing to do with what killed him?
I know. It's so
he just likes shit toast?
Ew. That's gross.
I don't know.
So, anyways... so they don't find Quentin, basically, is what we're getting to. Quentin killed his roommate and took off. So what do we got next? So Forrest Whitaker, he's like, hey, Barn, I'm back. I'm just going to set up right here.
Everyone's like, boo.
Yeah, nobody's happy. Like, even Dutch is like, what are you doing here? He's like Chris Hansen to like those guys that show up at the kids' house. So what are you doing here? And he's like, well, I'm working on something. And he's like, I thought you closed that case. He's like, oh, I got a new case now.
What's with all the condoms?
I like to wear those when I masturbate. So Forrest Whitaker basically, he's like, well, listen. I need that CI of yours, Emolia.
Dutch is asking him for Emolia's contact information, and Forrest Whitaker's like, I don't know where she is.
I think she went to Seattle. That's what he says. Yeah, she was going to Seattle. And he's like, I'm looking into Vic for killing Lem. And Dutch is like, you're an idiot.
I don't know if like they were very tight.
Have you, like, okay, so at the end of, I understand, like, he got punked. He got dunked on, basically, Forrest Whitaker in the end of season 5 and everything. Sure. But, like, there ain't a single person in this episode that gives him even that much respect. Everybody's like, suck a dick, Forrest Whitaker. Fuck you, Forrest Whitaker. Like, he's still IAD or whatever.
Yeah, he sure is. And actually, he's right in a lot of respects. Like, a lot of the things he lays out to Phillips were completely right. Like, the fact that Mackie made a deal with Antoine, the deal went bad. Like, all of that's correct. And the only part he's missing is that Vic didn't kill him, didn't kill Lem. Shane did. If he would just adjust his gaze a little bit to the right, he'd be dead on.
Yeah. So as the strike team's leaving the fucking hotel, Ronnie sees a random newspaper article with Lem in it.
Yeah.
Like, I understand his picture was in it, but like, you just came from a dead body. Are you really going to notice the newspaper as you're walking by?
Oh, I know. Yeah. What are the odds of that? It's not like he was just reading the newspaper and he happened to see it. Like,
so then in addition to him reading the newspaper, or noticing the newspaper, that article had to be on the front page because, you know, it was like a paper outside somebody's door at this hotel or apartment complex or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the article's so small. Like, you ever seen a real small front page article? Not really. they put the big stories on the front page and shit.
Yeah.
It looked like they read the whole article in like 10 seconds and they're like, oh, no, not Lim.
It was like a terrible headline, too. It was just like the most basic, like, cop was dirty or something like that. It's like, are you kidding me? Like, I feel like they put a little more effort into this.
So but
they go back to the barn and they're, you know, confronting Claudette. Like, hey, what the fuck's going on? Why is the department being so shitty about this? And at some point during this conversation, Shane kind of slips up and mentions, oh, that Lemon made another deal. And she's like, no, what are you talking about? And they kind of, like, Vic has to kind of cover and be like, well, Becca told us that Lem made another deal where he's going to turn in other people or something like that. And Claudette's like, no, that never happened. He was going to do more time, but it was going to be the same deal. He just wanted to be somewhere safe, you know, away from Kavanaugh. And they're all like, oh, shit. Acevedo boned us. He said that Lem turned on us, but he really didn't.
Yeah. So, they figure out that, like, fucking Acevedo and Forrest Whitaker were playing them the whole time.
Yeah.
Obviously it worked.
Yeah, but I think, I got the impression that they weren't even sure that that had happened. And Shane talked to Lem. He knew that that wasn't the case. But he said that whole line where he's like, maybe they won't make you turn us in now, but maybe a year from now they'll want you to, turn on us then. So it seems like that was his goal all along, was he's like, I can't take that chance. But he's sure reacting like, oh, God, like, I fucked up. But it seemed like he was, whether Lem took the deal or not, he was going to kill him. Because he couldn't take that chance because he's got, another kid on the way and shit.
So meanwhile, while this is going on, Dutch and Maria, they are upstairs interviewing some dude who says he killed Lem. But that guy wasn't even in the country until like 18 hours later.
Yeah, there's apparently a whole epidemic of people turning themselves in. A bunch of El Salvadorans are just confessing to this just to, try to get cover for Guardo.
Yeah.
Get the heat off.
It's weird, though.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. I don't know what's in it for him, but...
This is also where Dutch tells Vic that Forrest Whitaker's looking into him over Lem's death.
Yeah.
So that's odd. But, Forrest or Dutch knows, Dutch does not have any sort of belief that Vic's involved. Like, because even later on, I think him and Claudette are talking, and they're like, Mackie's dirty as fuck, but there's no way he killed Lem.
Yeah. Yeah. It is nice to see that they at least know that he wouldn't do that. They're like, this guy has some integrity. I'm like, Shane.
Yeah.
He wouldn't kill Lem. Like, he clearly cares about Lem. And you can see it in the way Vic acts, where, I'm sure even when he confronts Acevedo later, Acevedo's like, yeah, he didn't act like this when Terry died.
Yeah.
This is really someone who's really upset.
Shane's sitting out of his car, getting ready to kill himself, maybe. I don't know. Yeah.
He's thinking about eating that gun.
I hear you. Is he going to be like that other guy? Like, you don't.
Yeah. I was. Yeah. You wouldn't think so. But, I guess. I don't know. If you're a cop and you got a gun on you at all times, it's probably that much easier just to take care of business.
But he's got kids and shit.
Yeah. But I think, I got to imagine if he thought that he, Lem had turned, and then it turns out he didn't. That's got to fuck you up. Oh, God, I killed him for nothing. Yeah, I could see why he'd want to just, be like, well, I'm out.
Yeah.
That's got to be terrible guilt.
It does, but, you also, Shane, your first move is always to kill everybody. Just calm the fuck down. Even Vic. But Danny shows up, hey, Shane, you want to see my baby?
Yeah. He has to kind of, hide the gun under the seat. I wasn't doing anything.
Yeah, she's like, you all right? And oh, I'm cool. I always just cry in my car. It's fucking Kenny Chesney, man.
I play some Everybody Hurts by R.E.M. and just cry.
When you think you had enough. So back inside, Vic and Forrest Whitaker almost get into a fight again.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is pretty great. Again.
They pretty much have to be, restrained to keep from tearing into each other.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
So Phillips, he's pissed now. He tells Forrest Whitaker, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, Claude, that's this isn't even the first time these guys have fought. It's you're supposed to be IED. You're supposed to be above this bullshit. And so now Forrest Whitaker is in full panic mode. He's like, oh, God, Vic's going to get away. I got to do something. So he finally just fucking loses all fucking sense of his faculties. And is like, I got proof that Vic Mackey killed him.
Yeah. And they're like, what kind of proof? And he was like, oh, Amalia set Lem up because Vic wanted him dead.
Yep. He was paying her to do it. He's like, I got her testimony and shit. She'll come in and tell you all about it. He's like, I just needed until the end of the day to put the pieces together.
That's a ballsy move on his part because he didn't even run this by her yet, right?
No.
That's what I'm saying. You might want to.
Yeah, he's just so fucking desperate. This is the guy who wouldn't ever fucking bend or even, let alone break the rules. And now he's just like, yeah, whatever.
His own wife
has to go down. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it wouldn't help her when she needed him.
No, but now he's just completely throwing it all out the window. He's just like, fuck it.
He lost all that weight. He's gone crazy.
Yeah, this case, like, broke him in so many ways.
So he goes to see her. She's all holed up in some fucking shithole with, like, no, you know, not really any furniture and shit. She answers the door with a knife.
Mm-hmm.
And he's telling her what's going on and shit. Like,
Yeah, he starts feeding her a story like, hey, you just say that, you know, Vic told you to do this or else he threatened Sebastio if you didn't. And if you do all this, I'll get you all kind of nice stuff, like a monthly check and
you know, a house. Nice
place to live and doctor for Sebastio and stuff. And she's like, I guess.
Yeah.
'Cause she's pissed at the strike team for what Shane said last time.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, it didn't end well with them. So now she's like, fuck them. I don't care.
I hear you, but, you know, she's just like a wet rat. I know I've said that before on here, but, like, I don't know what it is about her. She annoys the shit out of me. She's so scummy. She just, whoever has a dollar bill out, that's who she goes to. Like, she's like a stripper.
Yeah, it's accurate.
Is that, I don't know. I've never been to a strip club. So while, you know, what's his name? While Forrest Whitaker's there, Dutch calls and he's like, hey, I think I know where Amalia is. I'm headed there. And Forrest Whitaker's like, oh, no. I'm going to meet her at the sewing shop down over on the corner or whatever. Meet us there. Don't come to the apartment. But he's right outside the apartment. Dutch is already at the apartment.
He sure is.
And
he's pretty sure that someone's in there, but
yeah,
like Kavanaugh gives him some weird line, like, I think a sewing shop would be a good place to follow up on your lead. Like, what? Why? Why would that be the case? How many cases get broken at sewing shops?
Yeah. So Dutch is like, all right, I'll meet you at the sewing shop, I guess.
Yeah.
But they don't ever show up at the sewing shop.
They do not. They go straight to the barn. And then he makes up a story later. Like, oh, she moved the meat on me a bunch of times. Bullshit.
So Vic goes to see Aceveda.
Yeah. Corners him in the bathroom. I feel like most of their scenes are in the bathroom.
Yeah, well, it's weird. He's all like, oh, you did this. You had something to do with Lem dying. And then, like, Aceveda's like, when will you take responsibility for anything? You don't take responsibility for a goddamn fucking thing. Aceveda's pretty
in this case, it was Aceveda's fault. So,
yeah.
Vic's not wrong.
I hear ya. But still.
Then Aceveda's like, you know, he's just like, well, at least Vic's like, don't you just disgrace Lem and talk shit about him in public and stuff like that. But Aceveda's just like, it's out of my hands. I can't help it.
Julian and Maria, they get some case where they're at this like porn shop that
finally a good scene.
Why is this a good scene?
I mean, anytime there's porn involved,
yeah,
you piqued my interest.
I hear you. So they show up there. I don't know what happened here. Like
the store owner got assaulted. Some guy came in and, like, called him a pervert or something and beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
All right. Did you recognize this guy?
Oh, I did.
Oh, yeah. All right. We'll talk about that later, I'm sure.
Yeah. Claudette tells Vic that the department wants him to retire right now.
Yeah. You're not even getting to your 15 mark anymore.
No.
You get a piece of your pension, but you're out fucking now.
Yeah, just get the fuck out. She's like, it's a lifeline. Take it.
Yeah, and he's like, no.
Best. She even, like, it's even understood. She's like, listen, you sign this fucking thing. You get the fuck out. We'll just forget anything that ever fucking happened. Just go the fuck away. Take a piece of your pension and out of sight, out of mind, as far as we're fucking concerned, is basically what she's telling him.
Yeah, he really should have fucking taken it.
I hear ya.
Like, this is a good deal. I mean, I get you're still semi-young and you don't want to be retired already, but fuck, find something else to do.
Yeah, be like, a PI or something.
Yeah, like, you can do this without having to... He's just so addicted to that street and the excitement of being on the street, I think, that
can't see anything else, but I don't know. He thinks he's doing such a good thing for the city that he can't, you know, if they lose him, that the whole city's going to go to hell, but just leave. Everybody move out of Los Angeles. He'll be fine.
Yeah. Well, it's going to go to hell with or without him. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I mean, it's L.A.
I mean, I'm sure he is making a difference on the streets, but still, he's getting himself in more and more trouble every fucking day.
Yeah.
Just get out.
We get another scene where this Quentin guy, the guy they went looking for at the motel, he's now at the clinic, and he's taking hostages. He's got a baby and a doctor and a woman.
Yeah, the baby mama.
The baby mama. Not his baby mama.
Nope, yeah. just the mama just of that baby. Baby
mama. I actually was baby daddy.
So and he doused, like, the doctor and the woman in gasoline, I think.
Yes.
And he's threatening to, you know, just light them up on fire if anyone comes in.
So, the strike team and a bunch of cops are there. It's not just those three. There's, like, you know, there's a good 15, 20 cops, it seems like.
Yeah. The SWAT team, I think, was called in.
Yeah. They're waiting on the SWAT team, I think, though.
Yeah.
I don't think they're quite there yet, but it doesn't matter.
Well, the SWAT team's going to theoretically jump into the skylight, but they got to make sure the baby's clear first.
Yeah. So, Shane's in La La Land at this point.
Yeah.
He's distant. This is another scene where Shane gets suicidal. He douses himself with gasoline.
And yeah, it makes sense, because, I mean, if you're going to kill yourself anyway, you might as well at least do it trying to do some good, I guess.
Yeah, go out a hero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There'll be some bit of karmic justice, I guess, but yeah, he takes his vest off, pours gasoline all over himself. He's like, hey, you know, give us the baby. You can have me as a hostage. I don't have a gun. You know, I'm unarmed. I'll be a lot better.
He's like, I'm Shane Vendrell.
Yeah.
Like that was going to make a difference, you know? He's like, oh, all right. Oh, I didn't know you were Shane Vendrell. All right. Fuck this baby. The SWAT team, okay, so the baby's crying. This is why you don't have kids.
Yeah.
They cry all day and all night, like fucking kids. This baby will shut the fuck up. So what's going on
is... It's like, yeah, he's crying because the gas fumes are making him, you're getting in his eyes and shit, burning him. So, like, put him in the little closet that's in there, and then he'll stop crying. And it does kind of work.
Yeah.
But basically, the guy's still flipping the fuck out. And Vic has to end up diving through the skylight.
Yeah. he gets shot.
Yeah. Shot in the shoulder.
Yeah. But, like, he had his vest on, but he had blood, so I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, wouldn't... If all these people have gas on them, wouldn't the shot, like, fucking start them on fire?
That does sound right. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe if the door was shut, it might. But I don't know. Maybe with the door.
Oh, maybe the skylight and stuff.
The skylight broke. Maybe it. Like, maybe I don't know.
Yeah.
What the fuck do I know? But what I'm saying is like Vic was like he's like, oh, I have my vest on. I'm all right. But then there was blood running down his arm. But like there's no like he's not in a sling or anything after this. So did he get shot or not?
Maybe nothing's broken.
Maybe the blood was from the glass coming through the
sky. Yeah, that could be.
Yeah, that could be. All right, we'll go with that then.
It wasn't a graceful entrance by any means.
No. But Vic's like, what are you doing, Shane? You're an idiot.
Yeah. And then he has to kind of defend it to like Claudette, like, hey, we saved these lives.
Yeah.
It wasn't the most, procedural type of arrest, but we got it done.
Yeah.
I mean, it did work, so you got to give him credit on that one. It was stupid, but it worked.
All right, so I wrote this down. Claudette Dutch, Forrest Whitaker interview Amalia and her lies.
Yeah, well, first, during that whole shootout thing, or the whole hostage situation, there's a scene where Corinne goes to see Danny, and she's like, I'm looking for Vic, is he here? And she's just like, no, like, we're not together. And then she calls Danny's kid a thing. Yeah. It's like, oh, that's awkward.
Yeah.
Being like, oh, your son might have autism. it's genetic, so he could have it too. So it's like, are you helping Danny or are you just being a bitch? I can't tell.
They're both being bitchy because Danny's all like, oh, just because you can't raise a kid and have a job at the same time doesn't mean anybody else can't. Like, they're both taking shots at each other and shit.
Yeah, but I get it. I mean, I'm kind of siding with Danny on this one. I can see why she's pissy, because the last time Corinne and her were in a scene together, like, Corinne was just like, you're a fucking whore, your kid's a bastard. And then now she shows up at her house and is just like, what's that thing in your arms?
Well, you understand,
like,
though.
Stop
like,
being a bitch.
That's her, like, bastard son, kind of. You know what I mean? Stepson?
I mean, it's not connected to her. It's her kid's, like, step-sibling. But it's not
I hear you. But still, like, her husband stepped out on her with this lady. And, like,
Yeah. Obviously
she knows it's going on. But a kid's, like, a lifetime reminder that, like, oh, yeah, your husband cheated on you.
Yeah. Although at least the baby, you know, was after they were already divorced, so.
Yeah, true. Well, yeah, but, you know, but then Forrest Whitaker told her, though, but this has been going on for years.
Yeah, for a couple of years, yeah.
Yeah, so, either way, it's a catty as fuck scene.
Sure is.
Yeah. Plus, Danny, you know, like, I'm surprised Danny didn't just, like, beat the shit out of her. Like, Danny's bitchy to people who aren't being dicks to her. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. When
Maria's around, Danny's a fucking bee and all that kind of shit. Yeah. So, somebody.
Like, her and Julian are best friends, and she's a bitch to them.
Right. And now somebody, some bitch, gonna show up at your house and call your baby a thing, and you ain't gonna whoop that bitch? You're gonna whoop that bitch, man.
Maybe because she had the baby in her arms. Otherwise, she would have been swinging.
Well, I guarantee there's some kind of. I don't know what you call it, cradle. What do you call those fucking things that you put babies in? Like car seats, whatever. There's got to be something around, a playpen, a fucking cardboard box, something. And you beat her ass. That's all. You beat her ass. And I bet you one thing. I bet she doesn't show up at your house again. I bet she doesn't.
I agree.
Yeah. So, you know, Vic goes to the hospital. Him and Shane, they're having another fucking talk. But, like, Shane's a mess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's acting out.
Yeah.
For sure.
Vic tells Shane that they want me to retire and all this kind of shit.
Yeah, so I need you to get your head in the game because you might be running shit soon.
Yeah. Claudette and Dutch are discussing Forrest Whitaker being full of shit or not. Like, they are not buying this story at all. And
yeah, like she tells him that, you know, Vic was going to give me $500, and if I didn't do it, then Sebastio's hospital bills would be 100 times that much, which that's fucking weird. That's a weird detail.
I hear you.
But yeah, they're like, he had me set this thing up
anyway. Like, I don't know, have you tried to fucking go to a doctor in this fucking country? Just calling them to make the appointment. Cha-ching, $700, please. Like, oh, okay. But I have insurance. So I know.
Otherwise, it would have been $10 million.
Yeah, exactly. It's such a scam. But anyways.
So Dutch is kind of watching Kavanaugh this whole time and just like, I'm not buying this. Like, this seems fishy.
Yeah. And Claudette tells Dutch to go, like, find Vic. Bring Vic in and talk to Vic and see what, you know, his side is.
Yeah. And Dutch kind of talks to Kavanaugh afterwards and he's like, so where did you end up meeting Amolia? And he's like, oh, this coffee shop. He's like, oh, the one on right off the 101 freeway or whatever? And he's like, yeah. And Dutch is like, starts pulling the camera footage for that freeway. He's
going, yeah.
Because he doesn't think this is on the level.
It's not. So Forrest Whitaker's back chirping at fucking Phillips again. Now he wants Dutch off the case. Like, oh, you got to get rid of Dutch. He's banging out Fran, and his vision's skewed and shit.
Yeah.
And Phillips is like,
that'll hurt us if it goes to trial.
Yeah. And Phillips is like, listen, you're real close to not even being a lieutenant anymore, so I wouldn't fuck this up. Don't fuck this up.
He went too far.
The porn shop.
There's also a runner we should mention when from the time that, you know, Vic and Kavanaugh almost got in a fight earlier, during that whole scuffle, Billings gets knocked down. And he's just milking it all day.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Yeah,
there's that recurring thing where he's like, oh, yeah, my head hurts now. I'm just going to do some paperwork. And they're like, why don't you take a personal day and go home? He's like, oh, I don't want to use them up for just part of the day. I'll save that for tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, like, at some point, he's like, well, I guess I'm going to head home now. Like, it must have been, like, 2 in the afternoon where he's been there a full day, quote, unquote, and he's leaving and shit. Yeah, he is pretty awesome in this scene. He has no fucks to give after being, booted out for, Claudette.
Nope. He is just working. I think didn't he mention in, like, the last episode something about, like, he's got 18 months till retirement or something like that? So he's just trying to ride it out until then.
Yeah. We're back with the porn shop guy. Turns out he's making porns.
Yeah, well, I think they find out that a bunch of other porn stores in the neighborhood got, knocked out or got robbed that day. Or not even robbed. I think some guy just came in and bought all the copies of this one specific tape. Like, bought out their whole supply so no one else could get their hands on them. And it was this Dick and Granny series that apparently was made by the guy, the porn shop owner that got assaulted.
Yeah. Now, he wears a Richard Nixon mask. That's why it's Dicks and Grannies.
Dick and Granny.
Yeah, Dick and Grannies. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know who that's for. Like, I guess there's a lid for every pot, but, man, I don't know.
I hear you. Like, I don't know either, but somebody has to like that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we've both seen a porn video in our lives, I'm sure, but that would not do anything for me.
Oh, God, no. That would kill me. Like, that. Yeah. That's a mood killer right there.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck just happened?
I would never want to see a naked person again if I saw that, I think.
Oh, God, no. I mean, I've seen, you've run across them accidentally, like, on Pornhub or whatever. Like, you clicked on it, like, oh, man, I thought that lady's 70. Like, shit. Fuck out of here. But, like, I don't stay there. But I've accidentally, opened the door and, like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong room.
Yeah. And then the porn guy's, like, trying to get Claudette to be in one of his movies, which is
weird. That's real weird. Yeah.
She's like, I'm going to arrest you if you keep going down this line of questioning.
So, Claudette and Dutch have a little thing where she's like, hey, listen, I'm basically getting the finger here. I got until the quarterly stats come out, and I just, otherwise I'll probably just be back with you again.
Yeah, well, I think basically if she doesn't turn it around, I think the barn will close.
I didn't realize that. I thought it was just going back to being a detective and somebody else was coming in. I know.
Yeah, but they're sitting in those pews up top, and they're like, she was like, well, if I don't turn this around by the end of the time we get the next quarterly statistics, there might be a lot of praying going on in these pews again or something like that. So I think they're just going to turn it back into a church, I guess.
I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah, so I guess they just get it. I don't know if all the cops would then just be absorbed by other districts or whatever, but yeah, she's got to turn things around.
So, Julian, Emilia, and Claudette, they show up. where do they go, Jank?
They find out which woman, which old grandma was in that Dick and Granny one that got all bought out. So they go to her house, and they're like, hey, have you ever seen this guy before? And she's just like, oh, no. And, her grandson, who's in the house, starts bolting out the back.
Yeah.
And Julian and Tina kind of get the drop on him, and they're like, stop, don't go anywhere. And he flips the fuck out. He's like, Grandma, how could you do this? How could you be his whore?
Why did you let that man do this to you, Grandma? I thought for sure they were going to shoot him. It seemed like a scene where
he was
going to raise the gun and they were going to drop him, but he just dropped the gun, and he's like, oh, Grandma.
Because apparently, I guess he had gotten arrested, and she needed bail money. That's why she did this porn video.
Ah. So gross.
That is gross. Like, just let him stay in jail for the weekend. Clearly, whatever it was, he ended up getting let go. Like, just don't bail him out.
Vic shows up to Forrest Whitaker's house. This is pretty goddamn awesome.
This
whole scene's pretty great. He basically threatens him.
Yep. Oh, he straight up threatens him.
Yeah, and, you know, so Forrest Whitaker, like, he lies back and shit, because they have this whole thing about you tell people what you want them or whatever. So how did it go, Cenk?
Yeah, something about like you tell the bad guy that you're onto him. That makes him change tactics.
Oh, that's right.
And even though he's telling Kavanaugh that's what he's doing, that's Kavanaugh does exactly that. And then he's like, I'm going to plant some evidence.
Yeah.
So it works. It 100% works.
He tells Vic, oh, hey, don't go home. There's cops waiting for you there to bring you in. So Vic doesn't go home.
He does not. And instead, Kavanaugh goes to his house.
Yeah,
and starts putting $500 in an envelope, which was the money that Molly was supposed to get for this supposed, hit that he placed. And he prints out a map of the auto body where Lem got blown up and puts it, crinkles it up and throws it in Mackey's garbage can.
Yep, he puts a matchbook. I don't know if you mentioned the matchbook.
A matchbook.
He puts a matchbook, like, in Vic's cup on the sink or whatever, just to, like... The matchbook had to do with, like, where Amolia worked, right?
Yeah, I think the sewing shop that they were supposed to meet at or something like that, probably.
Okay, so, once again, let's get back. A, what the fuck is a sewing shop? And B, do you really think they're going to have matchbooks made up?
Yeah, that's an odd choice.
Yeah. Jimmy's sewing shop. Like, all right, well, if I ever need anything sewed, I guess. So Dutch and Maria and some other guy, they go to the cousins. Who's cousin, though?
Oh, yeah. I think this was the guy who was confessing to Lem's murder. To find this guy's, cousins and see if they are real or not, basically. And so they're trying to check out this house. And they see, like, the side doors kind of open. There's all these cats going in. And there's,
I was like, she's going to go on a murder spree here tonight.
Yep.
That's what I thought was going on.
Not again. Not in front of Tina. I'll never get some for sure.
Not the new guy. New guy's in the corner puking. they show up to this house and all these cats. There's blood from a rat.
Turns out it's not all just from a rat, though, because they get in this house and they start seeing bodies. He's like, he calls it in. The lights are all off, so you can't really see everything that's going on. But he sees, a couple of bodies. He's like, we've got, I think, 3 or 4 bodies here. Then they turn the lights on, and there's just body parts everywhere.
It's just a living room full of bodies. What's going on here, Cenk?
There's a bunch of dead people.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably way more than 3 or 4.
Yeah.
It's like, this is something out of like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, pretty much. There's just body parts all over.
Yeah, it did look like, one of the cabins on Friday the 13th and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody's been through here.
We see Vic at Corinne's house because, he's not going home.
Yeah.
He went to Corinne's and he's telling her about how Forrest Whitaker is lying about everything and Acevedo's on the TV.
Cassidy comes out trying to be like, hey, daddy. And he's like, go away. Go.
Get the fuck out of here.
They're pouring on the TV.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of what it was like. Like, calm down. Like, if you just went, hey, Cassidy, how you doing? Like, let's go over here for a minute.
Yeah.
She would have just looked at the TV like, oh, there's some guy in a suit. Oh, that's dad's boss or whatever. But she wouldn't have been like, oh, my dad must be in trouble.
Yeah. I mean, it's just basically trashing Lem. I wonder how much she, much time has she spent with Lem?
Yeah.
Probably not a lot.
So we are now back in montage time, Cenk.
Yeah. The other part of the montage I don't think we've talked about is Shane.
Yeah.
Yeah. He apparently went back for that girl, that Moses' girlfriend.
Yeah.
And he's just banging her in an alley.
Yeah. He's getting her from behind.
Yeah. He's spinning out of control, clearly. He doesn't know which way is up anymore. He's trying to kill himself, doing reckless shit.
He's banging hookers. Like, after he swore that off, because remember, I think, remember, doesn't he make a reference, like, he just gets hand jobs or...
Oh, yeah, eating ain't cheating.
Oh, eating ain't cheating, yeah, that sort of thing, yeah. Yep. Yeah, he has no respect for Mara now either, apparently.
Yeah, I think he just doesn't care. Like, he's just like, whatever. Whatever happens, happens at this point.
I'm a piece of shit anyways, whether I cheat on my wife or not, but how about you just don't? She didn't do anything to you besides bitch every fucking minute she's awake, but other than that, she didn't do anything.
And pretty much her bitching probably led you to kill Lem in the first place, but still, other than that.
If she was just a fucking bitching for 5 seconds. That's all I'm saying.
Can't you just be normal for 3 seconds?
Oh. yeah, Claudette and Dutch, they're at the crime scene. Claudette showed up. They're looking at shit. Forrest Whitaker. Claudette
is like a very hands-on captain, apparently. She's always involved in everything.
Well, why the fuck not? You know,
she's still doing a lot of detective work for a captain.
Yeah, well, she figures she's going to be back here anyway. She might as well just keep practicing.
Yep.
We also see during this montage Forrest Whitaker at Vic's house, which once again, like, the way this character has just fucking descended into just criminal from, like, just two violent mood swings.
Yeah.
Like, one extreme to the next. Breaking Vic's house, like, didn't even scan it. Or what do they call that? Stake it out or nothing. Like, how do you know Vic doesn't have a hidden camera, like, somewhere? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I guess that would be a little outrageous. But, yeah, you don't know that for sure.
I mean, a lot of people have cameras in their houses.
Really?
Yeah. I don't. But a lot of, like, in case somebody breaks in and shit. You have at least fucking a record of somebody coming in your house and stuff.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, homemade porns.
Yeah.
Two.
That's true. Gotta make Dick and Granny part 4.
But we see him, like, he gets $500 and puts it in an envelope, just like Amalia said Vic was gonna pay her. And he puts the matchbook and he puts the map in the garbage, like you mentioned earlier. And he looks at himself in the fucking window as he's walking out the door.
Yeah.
Like, oh, what have I become? And he's like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I'm still doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's this almost case like, is completely broke him. Like, it makes sense that he was with his, Sadie. They're both fucking nuts.
Yeah, they are crazy. Yeah, yeah.
Like, he tried to keep it under wraps for a long time, I think, but I feel like in the end, he's just fucking nuts.
I bet those two crazy fucked so hard. Like, just crazy motherfuckers just... like, ripping nipples off and shit. Jesus Christ.
Yep, I can 100% see that.
Yeah. So that's where we end this one, Cenk.
Yeah, good episode.
Yeah, I went 8 out of 10. I'm like, it's great, but it's not perfect or anything. There's some things.
Sure, I agree. Yeah, like the whole methadone thing, I don't know. It wasn't the greatest of storylines.
Oh,
the hostage thing was okay, but other than that, it's like, I didn't need this.
Yeah.
Get back to the Lem stuff.
I hear you.
All right, well, let's do some best quotes.
All right, go ahead, Cenk.
When the porn shop owner, they're talking to him, and Claudette's like, who's the granny? And he's like, why? She's of age, right?
Right at the end of the episode where Vic shows up at Forrest Whitaker's house and Vic's like, you think I'm a cop killer? You're a cop. Yeah, I think he also says something here about, like, you better make sure you're ready to play this game. You're stepping into, like, is that this scene?
Yeah, yep. You're stepping on a whole new playing field or something like that.
Yeah. I didn't know if you had it written down. He's like, yeah. He's like, yeah, this is a whole new game. You're stepping into... a whole new playing field. Just be sure you're ready to play or whatever.
That is such a good threat. Just to, like, you think I'm a cop killer. You're a cop.
You're a cop. Yeah.
Threatening him without technically threatening.
Yeah, he didn't say anything. He's just stating facts. You think I'm a cop killer. You're a cop. Yep. Those are just facts, just straight facts. Any lawyer would argue that, Jake.
Yep. That'll hold up in a court of law.
Yeah. Whenever Shane and Vic are talking at the hospital, Shane's like, I still smell like diesel. And then Vic goes, just like Ronnie's aftershave.
Yeah, I had that one as well.
Yeah,
that's not even that good. I just like the fact that they're always ripping on Ronnie.
Yeah, like Ronnie.
Especially when he's not there.
He's the punching bag. Like, Lem's been dead for 14 minutes, and they're like, yeah, we can still make fun of Ronnie, though.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. When they're leaving the porn shop, and her, like, Tina and Julian are getting into it about porn and stuff like that, and she says, you could use some tight-ass lube yourself, Sparky.
Yeah, I didn't get that reference so much. Like, I get it, he's uptight and shit, but what's the Sparky?
Yeah, I don't know.
All right.
That's an interesting one.
You didn't get it either, then. All right, good. Whenever they find Kevin Smith dead in the bathroom, Vic's like, smells like burnt toast.
Yeah. The most confusing death. I don't understand it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, was the toaster involved electrically?
Yeah.
Or was it just, like, used for bludgeoning? Or was he just making toast? In the bathroom. We don't know.
Maybe a whole episode breaking this down.
Yeah, we got
to. CSI fucking bathroom toast.
If we ever get Kurt Sutter on this thing, which we're not, but let's just say hypothetically we do. First question, what's going on with Kevin Smith in the toaster? Like, we got to know what was going on in that bathroom.
What were you thinking?
Yeah.
I like that we got, Dutch's catchphrase back again this episode, that you got to be shitting me, once he sees all those bodies in the house at the end.
Yeah.
I feel like he says that from time to time. Like when he first saw Danny and Vic together in season one.
Oh, yeah. Just,
you gotta be shitting me.
Yeah. That's Dutch's I'm too old for this shit.
Yeah. Have mercy.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I have anything else written down. I had the Julian and Maria. I still didn't understand it either, though. But it was a good time.
Yeah, I don't understand the nickname, but the rest of it was good.
Yeah.
Julian sure could use some of that.
Yeah. Especially today, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, God. I did like when Vic was, he's giving his whole speech to Acevedo in the bathroom, and he's just like, oh, yeah, like, what, you take my badge? Here, fucking take it. You want to end a career? You do it straight up to someone who's still alive. Could still look you right in the eye.
Yeah.
It's so emotional and just like, it's so much that's been building up over all these seasons. And he's like, he doesn't even care anymore. Like, he doesn't really care about his badge so much as he cares about just getting revenge for Lem at this point.
Yeah,
we'll see a lot of next episode.
Yeah.
He don't give a fuck. He just wants to be Guardo.
It is, yeah, he has zero fucks to give.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I guess it's Kristen Bell award time for the best guest star.
Well, I went with the porn shop guy.
Hell yeah. Joseph D. Reitman is his name. He played Axel, the porn shop owner. But we know him.
I thought to the Reitmans of, like, Ivan and Jason.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. But he very was married to Shannon Elizabeth.
Yeah, he sure was.
Which is weird as fuck. It, like, makes me think, like, oh, I have a shot at her. I could be that guy.
You got to grow out a little bit more hair, just a little.
Like, he does have crazy fucking hair. Well, I'm going no hair with a small dick. That's what I'm saying. That's all. Go the other way.
That's a choice.
That is a choice I made, and God made for me. I know this guy from Jay and Silent Bob.
Yep,
he has a very suit. He has a small role in that movie, but
he's such a distinctive look, though, that you're like, oh, that guy.
Yeah.
He's in the scene
where they're filming the movie, and Chris Rock turns to him and goes, cracker, 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 cracker. Mr. Biggs and Mr. Vanderbeek are on the set. Well, I don't fucking see them. You know, it's that scene.
Yep.
I love that. I love Chris Rock, man. That guy's awesome.
He is so good in most things, but even more so in that movie.
Yeah.
And Dogma. He's also great in Dogma.
Oh, he's one of the good parts of Dogma. I don't love Dogma.
Oh, I love Dogma.
I don't love Dogma.
I don't love it as much as I love Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, but of all of the movies, it's pretty up there.
Oh, of all the movies, it is fifth.
What? Like,
we're just going the first five. Clerks, Mallrats, Chasing Amy, Dogma, and Jane Silent Bob Strike Back. It is fifth.
Oh my God.
By a mile and a half, dude. Why? Oh, what's dang. Worse than what would be fifth in there? I will drive to Chicago right now and I will whoop on you.
I would probably go Chasing Amy.
What? You are insane.
I mean, I love Chasing Amy, don't get me wrong, but it's of the five, it's the least funny. Like, it's probably got the most to say, it's the least funny.
Dogma is by far and away the least funny. There is nothing funny in that movie.
What?
Chris Rock is good.
Jay and Silent Bob have a lot of great stuff in that movie. The whole diner scene is great.
Yeah.
Talking about Shermer, Illinois and shit.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't have its moments, but it's fifth. I'd give that movie, it's like a 5 out of 10.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Disagree.
Yeah.
Was
Porn Shop Guy in any other, because it said he was in a few Shane Elizabeth movies.
Oh, I can see that. They were together in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, obviously.
Yeah.
Both of them were in there. I think he also reappeared in Reboot as well.
Oh, he's in Reboot?
Yeah.
I don't remember him in Reboot.
I think he was somewhere. I think if he was in the reboot inside the reboot of the Bloodman and Chronic movie, or if he was somewhere at the con.
He was also on Happy. You ever watch Happy?
That show? No.
Yeah, that show. Yeah, I never watched it either, but apparently he was on there. Okay. Yeah, he is in Reboot.
Yeah.
He plays first assistant director, so I guess he's playing the same kind of thing he did in the...
Maybe he's like one of the people kind of helping when they were filming the scene, you know, where everything goes wrong, the cock mandos and shit like that.
Yeah.
He was directing that part for Kevin
that
Smith.
That could be. Yeah. He probably does the thing. Cracker?
Maybe he was the one who gave, you know, when Kevin Smith goes off stage and he gives him the weed or something like that. I can't remember if that was him.
He shows up again next season?
Oh, I think he does.
Yeah, that's what it says. Yeah. It's an episode called Money Shot.
Yes.
Yeah.
You gotta give that guy more work.
Yeah, there. Okay. Oh, he's in Pi 2.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, he plays an EMT.
Oh, I can see that.
Perfect Storm, never saw it.
Nope, me neither.
I think that's it, though. Nothing before. He's in Clueless.
Wow.
Yeah. I love Clueless. That movie's awesome.
I haven't seen it in a while, but yeah, I enjoyed it.
It still holds up. It's still pretty funny.
Yeah, I hadn't seen it until probably 5 years ago. So I watched it for the first time, and I was like, yeah, this is good. I like it.
I do love it.
Yeah.
All right, so we both have Porn Shop Guy.
Fuck yeah.
Jason D. Reitman. Joseph.
Yeah, Joseph.
Right. Oh, yeah. I also want to put that dead hooker that Shane was banging out on there. I want to put her in there too. I like it.
All right. Run her up.
Yeah.
All right, let's do the MVP of the episode.
I mean, this is a Vic.
Yeah. I pretty much have to agree.
Yeah. I hear you. We say the same things, but
yeah, I was leaning towards Dutch a little bit just because he was so on top of the whole not buying this story. Like, you get to see Dutch being a very good detective, and he's you know, completely poking holes in this every which way but loose. And he kind of doesn't believe from the get-go, which is good to see because he is in the right that Vic didn't have anything to do with this.
Yeah, he didn't. The one time.
Yep.
This one thing.
Other than, you know,
warping Shane's mind to the point where he thought this was a good idea, which is kind of Vic's fault. If he hadn't, you know, brought Shane into all this with the killing of Terry, this probably never would have happened.
Yeah, this is a butterfly effect, basically.
Yeah, it really is. This is a monster of his own making.
Yeah, kind of.
All right. Well, let's do the Vendrell Cup for the biggest fuck-up.
Whoa, I mean, this is Forrest Whitaker for me.
Yeah, agreed.
You were not ready, sir. You were not ready to step onto this playing field, but you did.
Nope. He's throwing everything away here. I mean, he knows. Some part of him has to know this is a terrible idea. He's just so blinded by rage and, you know, determination to get this guy that he's, you know, finally doing what he said he would never do and breaking the rules.
Like,
so,
it's not only did you not get him, he fucking made you look like an ass, and he fucked your ex-wife.
Yep.
And fucking, like, you know, bragged about it to you. What did she taste like? Sweet butter.
Yeah, sweet butter. And now it's going to be his undoing, probably. So, way to go, Forrest Whitaker. You fucked up.
What else do we got? The dumpy.
You got the dumpy award for the worst part of the episode.
I'm going to be honest with you. Ronnie noticing that fucking article in the paper really just fucking rubbed me the wrong way. I don't know why, but it did.
Yep, that's fair. That's a stretch.
I'm like, he's got so much on his mind, and they just saw a dead body, but you're still going to notice an article that looks like it's about 3 inches by 3 inches.
Well, the paper was like folded in quarters or something. It's like this little bit of paper is showing. And you're just like, you see this?
Yeah, like, did you see it? Like, you just picked it up. I don't think you saw it.
Yeah, that's a stretch for sure.
Yeah. What about you?
I had that baby crying. That was just like fucking 4 minutes straight of baby crying. Just like, I don't like this at all.
I hear you. Like, I was kind of like, go ahead and flick the Bic. I don't care. I fucking hate crying babies, man.
Yeah, I don't know how people do it.
I don't get it, man. All you parents out there, I don't understand why. Why would you want to do that? Like, I understand if, like, you fucked up.
Like, sure. I got to do this now.
But, like, you know, those people are like, ever since I was a youngster, I always wanted to have a big family, like 8 kids. Like, why would you want that? Why would you want to ruin your life that way? Like, you just want to be a maid or a butler to a fucking 8 kids?
Yeah, like, are you just that desperate for company?
Yeah, like, I'm all right. There's Twitter and shit if I want to chat with somebody. Like, I talk to chickless all the time. I don't know.
And he never cries.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Well, let's do some casting.
Yeah.
First casting segment for season 6 here.
Who would they be if they weren't on the Shield?
We'll start off as we usually do with Vic Mackey. That's how we usually kick these things off. And this season, what we're going to be doing for casting is TV sitcoms.
Yeah.
Try to figure out what TV sitcoms these people would be.
Now, we kicked it around. We're like, should we narrow it down? And I was like, no, stop narrowing shit down.
It just makes it harder.
Like, at first, like, even when I got cartoons, I was like, that'll be easy. Till I got to, like, week 4, and I'm like, I really don't know that many cartoons. I really don't. Like, I know the Flintstones and the Jetsons and South Park, but I'm lost after that. Bugs Bunny.
Yep.
It got rough. So sitcoms, we're like, no. Just sitcoms. Whatever. I don't give a fuck. There's only, 80 years of sitcoms out there we can choose from at this point almost.
Yeah, let's make it easy on ourselves.
Yes.
Give us some variety.
Yeah. Maybe 70 years. All right, so, yeah, we're starting off with Vic Mackey.
Yep.
All right, so I'm doing 3. I did 3 for this week and 3 for Wednesday's episode.
Okay.
Because, obviously, I could come up with probably 11.
Yeah.
I don't want these episodes to be 3 hours long. That's all I'm saying. All right, so why don't you go first, Cenk? Give me your first Vic Mackey.
All right. My first one, I went with Jim Halpert from The Office.
Jim Halpert?
Yep. This will make more sense in the next episode, but he's just like the cool guy of the barn. You know, the guy that everyone wants to like be friends with and like, oh, that guy's cool. Look at him. Oh, he's doing pranks on fucking Dutch and shit like that.
Yeah.
But so
at no point did like Jim murder Dwight, though.
If there would have been a season 11, they would have got there.
Yeah, he might have. He was best mensch. There's no way.
Bestest mensch.
Bestest mensch. Yeah, bestest mensch. All right.
I mean, let's face it. How many sitcom characters have committed murder? Not many.
Well, we'll find out when Julian's up. Yeah. You will find out.
Sure will.
The first person I went with, I don't know if you'll know who this is, but I went with Mel Sharples from the TV show Alice. He was the short order cook who stood in the back, and he was always like, "Stow it, dingy!" Like, he would always he'd always yell at Vera and shit. He was real sassy and grumpy, and he always like, he had one of those like bells, you know what I mean? Like old school, like you ding the bell to get the hotel clerk to show up. He'd always like slap it with his spatula and like, "Food's up, dingy!" Like, he always called Vera dingy and shit. He was just a grump. Are you familiar with this show or this reference in any way? This is a 70s TV show.
I'm familiar with Alice. I don't think I've ever watched it, though.
Oh. Well,
I'm looking at pictures of him, and I can see it.
Mel Sharples, hilarious. That guy is fucking hysterical on that show. Now, I like Alice. Like, I loved Alice as a kid, and like a few years ago, Nick got me a few seasons. Alice blows, because here's the problem. It's like, when Mel's not around, it's terrible. And like, Alice is always wanting to sing songs and shit, and it's like, you know, you're a waitress. Like,
yeah, you're a waitress.
Well, the whole thing was just like, she wanted to be a singer, but it just never worked out for her in life, and she still wants to do that, but she's a single mom, so she's working at the diner to make ends meet, but she sings all the time, and it gets on my fucking nerves. I just want to give her a DDT. I really do. So that's Alice. So yeah, Mel Sharples. That's an old people reference, but I was going to say old people would listen to this, but they won't. Nobody's listening. All right.
That's true. No matter what your age, you're probably not listening.
What do you got next?
My next one, I had another Jim. Could slot in Vic Mackey on According to Jim with David Feeney.
All right. Jim Belushi with Vic Mackey. And I think you've got yourself a better show.
Well, you do have a better show. Like, anytime you take Jim Belushi out of the mix, it's already better.
Yep.
Do something, Jim Belushi. One time, say something funny. Just once. Like, you keep saying he's a comedian and he's on sitcoms. I haven't seen it. Like, I don't get it. I don't know what's funny about Jim Belushi.
Yeah, I can't think of any moments where I have either.
No.
Now that I think of it, no.
I can't think of any moments. Like, what is he in? Besides According to Jim. Like, there's 2000. Which I would
know. He wasn't even in that, was he? It was Aykroyd and John Goodman.
Oh. Well, that's better.
Unless he had like some other part in there, but I remember I think I mentioned to you that I saw this before. There was a movie on Amazon Prime for a while that had him and Tupac Shakur as partners, like buddy cops.
Oh, gross.
I'm like, oh no.
Oh no. I don't want to watch that.
Yeah, all right. That's weird.
I never watched According to Jim, though.
I haven't seen much of it, but, I mean, I can see Vic Mackey in there. Why not? They're both kind of out of shape. Balding.
Yeah. Well, speaking of balding, next on my list, I got Red Foreman.
Yes.
That 70s show. Like, I could see him, like, dumbass. Like, I could see him, like, just giving Kelso the biz and shit.
He's got no time for these fucking kids.
Hates Fez. He absolutely hates Fez.
He would have murdered Fez by
now. He would have killed Fez.
Yeah, Fez ain't making it.
No. No. He would have killed Fez and then blamed it on, like, you know, Packers fans or something.
Planted a gun at him.
Yeah.
It was a righteous kill.
It was good. Who do you got next?
This one, I mean, it may be a little bit of a stretch, but I'm going to go with it anyway. As we know, Michael Chiklis is from Boston. He's got a little bit of the accent, not a whole bunch, but, you know, a little bit. So I figured I'd throw him in as Sam Malone from Cheers.
Ooh, man.
Because we've seen Michael, you know, Vic Mackey gets a lot of ladies.
Yeah, he does.
He sure does. So he's got some of that Sam Malone in him, I feel like.
God, I hate Cheers so much. I really hate that show. I might watch it if Vic Mackey's on it.
Yeah, see, that brings it back, right?
It does, because I like Woody Harrelson, but I'm not into Norm, man.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't like
Norm. Yeah, I mean, I used to like Norm. I haven't really watched a show in a long time. Maybe he's not that good.
And also, Frasier. I would beat the fuck out of Frasier with yep. Lilith. I would grab Lilith and then beat the fuck out of Frasier with her. Oh, I hate that guy. All right, so that's last fair. On my list, coming in at number one, I guess, Vic Mackey. I went with Archie Bunker.
Nice.
Yeah, that's Vic. I mean, he's just a crusty old hateful
curmudgeon.
Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
I can totally see that. That is very fair.
That's all I got. What do you got? You got anybody else?
I just had one other one, and this one's just because, I mean, I guess they're somewhat similar in terms of hair and body shape, but not much else. But I would like to see his take on it. So let's put Michael Chiklis as George Costanza on Seinfeld.
Oh, yeah. That would be good. Now, wasn't he on an episode?
He'd be much angrier. Was he? Oh, I haven't gotten there yet.
Michael Chiklis. I thought he was in an episode.
Oh, I'm going to have to get back in and watch him.
Oh, yeah, he is. He's on. You might not have recognized him. I think. I don't know what season you're on.
Just three.
Okay, he's on the one where they go to that party, and I think Kramer wants to leave or something. They leave. I forget who gets left there. George gets left at the party.
Doesn't sound familiar. No.
Yeah, season 3, episode 10. You haven't got there yet. It's not very good.
Coming up.
It's not a good one. But you might not recognize Chiklis right away because he has hair and shit.
And yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen a couple episodes of The Commish. I think I'll recognize him.
Yeah, so, see, like, I probably wouldn't right away. He looks different with hair.
Yeah, he sure does.
But then I think what happens is like, in that episode, I think Jerry is like, oh, hey, if you're ever in town, stop by. Well, he stops by and he won't leave or something. Like that. But, yeah, so you're coming up on that.
All right. Now I got something to shoot for.
Yeah. All right, episode 1 in the hole, and episode 0 done.
Yep,
it's still only 10 episodes, right, Jank?
Yep, only 10. Shorter season.
We're already 10% done.
Yeah. Fuck yeah!
Hell yeah! America. All right, Mackie's Clubhouse at Yahoo.
Suck on my balls. Yep, that is the email address. If you want to find us on Facebook, Mackie's Clubhouse over there, and we'll see you again on Wednesday. Till then, bye, motherfuckers.
Bye.
Hey Mo, your sister's ass really tastes as sweet as Alvarez here says it does. He wants to know what your mama's putting in the corn muffins.